back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And we're going to do the news with Gina. But first, let me introduce the one of the great sports guys in Los Angeles sitting in front of me, Joe McDonald. Nice to see you, man.
Tim, thanks for having me, man. This is a true pleasure being on your show. And I told you when we were emailing, you know, I'm a big fan of yours, but the last 2.5 years, I haven't been able to hear you because we've been basically on at the same time.
Yes.
But I am now free from those ties of bondage.
Excellent.
And get
look
a chance
at you.
To do this. Yeah.
You know, I've been looking. When I used to go to Laker games, I used to always sit under the basket, right?
Oh, okay.
And I used to, you know, see you doing sports down there. And then listening to you on radio and reading your stuff. There's really, you know, very few people who are doing sports radio who actually really enjoy sports.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just do it and then they're, you know, stand-up comics or they're modeling or they're, you know, they got a, you know, a car, you know, they're doing something else other than really sports. But you seem to be like always at these games and really looking at these things.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, my parents used to worry about me because I would literally, like, at the age of 9, be memorizing the sporting news. Seriously.
Is that right?
I would read it and read it and read it and I could spout it off and... you know, it's just been a passion of mine. But I was able the last 3 years though to do a political show on the other, you know, network right. I worked for as well as the sports. So, and my passions are equal for history, politics, and for sports. So I love both. And, but sports is just something that's been ingrained with me. I played it till I wrecked my knee.
What'd you do to your knee? I followed it.
After football practice one day in high school, went home to play with the kids on the block.
Right.
Smashed it into a car fender.
Oh, Jesus.
Blew it out the other end, and that was the end of that.
And that's it, huh?
That was it. Nothing happened on the field. Just didn't know when the parents pulled the car up from across the street, and bam, gone.
That's terrible. Yeah. You could have had a career in football, huh?
Well, yeah, maybe. But you know what? This one was a little safer,
yeah.
I think.
I said to my dad, I used to be a pitcher in Little League, and I always thought I was a really good pitcher. I really thought I was. And I actually pitched a no-hitter once in Little League.
I did, too.
It was only six. Is that right?
I did. I was 12 years old.
Is that right?
And I won 7-5.
About the same age. Yeah, we won 6-0.
Oh, you see, you shut him out. I gave up 5 runs. You can tell how many people I walked.
But I remember doing that, and I thought, wow, I could go on, you know, the majors. And I remember talking about my dad about this recently, and I said, you know, I think if you push me a little, you know, I could have been like a major league pitcher. He says, Tim, you need a lot more than me pushing you. Listen, you were a great kid growing up. You're not an athlete.
Well, at least he was honest, I guess, with his own opinion. Yeah, I got a chance to meet your dad. Your dad was like a hero to my parents when they were alive. My grandmother thought your father was the funniest man who ever walked the face of the earth.
Really?
Oh, that's cool. And I got a couple of chances to meet him with the late Jim Healy.
Right.
Many years ago.
Yeah,
and
Jim had a great show, man.
Yeah, he did. And we worked together at the old... they're not, you know, KMPC's gone. Those call letters aren't out there anymore. So,
yeah.
We had a chance to meet him, and I think he was at his star ceremony, which is the last time I saw him, which is also the day Magic Johnson announced his retirement.
Oh, yeah,
but,
right.
It was, you know, just hearing so much about Tim Conway growing up, you know, finally getting a chance to meet him, it was like, wow.
Yeah, I remember that night, like, you know, turning on the news to see my dad get that star in the Walk of Fame, and it's all about Magic Johnson retiring.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, hey, couldn't you wait for another day? I mean, Jesus, my dad's been working his ass off.
Yeah, that's what Jim Healy said. Jim Healy said, you know, the guy couldn't have waited another day to do this. I'm sorry, God, the guy's got HIV. Come on, Jim.
Yeah. No, but Jim Healy has, it was one of the greatest sports shows ever. And I remember all the, you know, the Gamblin' Rose that used to play. It was just a great song. It was all sound effects. And just a great, great broadcast. And my dad did some of the sound effects for him, like, get to the point, will you, Jim?
Yeah, to the point, will you, Jim, yeah. Well, I used to, when Healy, he was an interesting personality because as long as you were on his good side, he treated you like you were gold.
Right.
If you weren't on his good side, he could try and get you fired, which he did with me and Doug Krikori.
Was that right?
When our ratings got better than his, he didn't want us around.
Oh, man.
So he used to do his show in a little studio. I mean, 1/20th the size of this. And so he'd go crazy if anybody made any noise. So right in the middle of one of his bits, if he was mad at us, I'd just go up and start pounding on the door. And the break would come, you suits coming in here. I'd be sitting on the couch in the hallway. So I didn't see anybody, Jim.
I run into his kid every once in a while, Patrick Healy.
Yeah.
He's a great reporter for NBC out there.
Yeah.
I run into him at the La Monica's, like on a Thursday night or Friday night. I get pizza there, and he's, you know, there occasionally. He's a good kid.
Well, I didn't know Gina's dad was Steve Grad.
Yeah, you didn't know that, huh?
You know, I've been at various events with, and, you know, as we're talking about Golden Mics, I mean, he's the king of the Golden Mics from sports.
You want to see the room here with a couple of legacies.
Yeah, you want to see something embarrassing? Watch this. Gina Grad, what is, in the NFL, when a team gets a safety, how many points is that worth?
I'm just going to guess because I don't know what a safety means. Two?
Okay, there you go. Very nice.
That's exactly right. That's pretty good.
I don't know what a safety
is. Some guys I've worked with that wouldn't know the answer to that.
All right, Joe McDonald
is with us. We're going to take your phone calls. But first, the news with Gina Grad, everybody. Here we go. Gina in the news.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom. Here's Gina Grad with the news.
All right, Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, in political news, with the dust now settling from the vice presidential debates, many people are beginning to weigh in on who they thought did a better job, Palin or Biden. In this clip, former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, had some positive things to say about how Governor Palin conducted herself at the debate.
All right, here we go. Giuliani.
The reality is, she was going in there with an awful lot of attacks on her, a lot of questions raised by the media, and she more than exceeded expectations. This is not a question of just meeting some base level. This was one of the best debate performances I've ever seen.
Well,
I've been involved in a lot of debates. She was very clear. She was very...
Which debate did he watch? Last night?
Yeah. Well, there's only been one, and I think there's only going to be one, so probably that one. Yeah.
For him to say it's the best performance he's ever seen is really crazy. Yeah. I mean, I'm a Republican, and I thought it was, you know, the whole thing was average, you know, both sides.
This was one
of the best debate performances I've ever seen. I've been involved in a lot of debates. She was very clear. She was very precise. She had real mastery of the facts. All these attacks on her as not being prepared, I think they're gone now.
Oh, boy.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there she goes. Yeah. Did you watch it last night, Jim?
I did. My wife said, "Are you going to be home tonight?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Can we watch the debate together?" And I said, "Well, why?" Because my wife's not really interested in politics. So we can make fun of Sarah Palin. I said, "Absolutely. I'm there with you." She was not brilliant.
No. 70 million people watched that last night. 70 million people.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? 70 million people don't do anything in this country.
No, that's intriguing. I wonder if they took any meaningful polls out of that to see what they thought she did.
Yeah, well, it's all subjective. I mean, you know, Fox will say she did great. MSNBC will say, you know, she looked like a two-year-old. So.
Yeah, well, I think she's the type of woman who would slay her own children if she could, you know, move ahead, personally.
All right. Well, I disagree with you there. I think it takes a lot to become,
all right,
you know,
maybe just beat them up. Maybe not slay them.
Well, mayor of a city and then governor without any connections. That's a big deal, especially when you're a chick.
I've been in rooms with more than 5,000 people. Come on.
Yeah.
I could be mayor of a town of 5,000.
She's the governor of Alaska.
All right. Yeah, I guess.
Governor.
What can I say? Yeah. You're right.
All right. What do you got? What else you got there, Gina?
Well, in health news, researchers who have heard the urban legend about the contraceptive effectiveness of Coca-Cola products have decided to put the soft drink to the test.
Wow.
And according to them, yes, indeed, Coke is a spermicide.
Is that right?
Yes. And
but how
that,
do you apply it? I mean...
Well, I think it just goes right downstairs.
Oh, bubble.
Yeah, and Mr. McDonald, you might appreciate this to that end. The studies also showed that not only was Coke a spermicide, but that Diet Coke, for some reason, works best.
Oh, God.
So maybe that's why my wife isn't pregnant yet. Too much time. I'm switching to Diet Pepsi now.
He's shotgunning that thing.
There you go.
Doesn't that sound like the, you know, the Southern emergency room sketch in Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, who's next? Oh, I got myself. I put myself. I had a Coca-Cola in her vagina, and then we still got pregnant. Room number three.
Yeah, and I even tried a Glad bag. It didn't work.
How low-end are you, though, where that's your first move?
Yeah. Take a little Coke shower.
Yeah. I mean, Christ almighty. There's, you know, you're too cheap to buy condoms, so you get, what, a 12-pack of Coke?
Yeah.
Jesus
On sale,
Christ.
You know.
All right, then, all right. Yeah. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, in entertainment news, there is good news for all you Ghostbusters fans out there. Veteran comedic actor Bill Murray was interviewed by Al Roker this week and leaked the news that a Ghostbusters 3 movie is a possibility for the future.
All right, look at that. Look at you. Anything else going on in the news?
Would you like to hear him speak about
it? Yeah, I don't have it up on my
computer.
No
problem. None at all. I can just let you know that he said it was a possibility for the future.
All right, let's see if Randy can get that up here.
Perfect.
I only have two stories up on the computer here, but maybe that was an oversight on my part. Here he is, Bill Murray.
People have been talking about a Ghostbusters 3. Any chance of that?
Well, it's more serious than it ever was. It was never serious, talking about it. But Columbia hired a couple of writers from The Office to write a new version of it. And I think it'd be great to have a fresh
one. Would you go back?
You know, we did the video game last summer, and it was fun to play that guy, Peter Venkman, again. And I found myself coming out of the recording studio, walking down the street, singing the Ghostbusters song. People were like, oh, get a load of him. So full of himself. Get over it, will you, pal?
You know? That was years ago.
Really, but it got in me. I started singing the song, and it really was kind of fun to play that guy again. So it might be really a lot of fun.
So you're ready to strap the pack back on?
The pack is really heavy.
Thank you very much. That's enough.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I actually have it on the computer, and I screwed up, and I didn't see it, so it's not your fault, Randy, it's mine. I apologize. Huh. All right, anything else going on in the news there, Gina?
Yes, well, finally tonight, a Serbian chef is bringing out a no-holds-barred guide to cuisine with a twist in his new book called The Testicle Cookbook, Cooking with Balls. Hailed, and now tell me if you can't get through this one. I'll just keep going until you tell me to stop. Hailed as the world's first testicle recipe collection, the cookbook includes author Lubomir Arovic's favorite dishes like testicle pizza, battered testicles, barbecue testicles. The ebook, available for download from the internet, comes with handy video guides showing things like how to peel the skin and slice it up into little chunks.
Oh.
Yep. The animals featured in the cookbook include stallions, ostriches, bulls, pigs, and turkeys.
Mm. How's it sell it?
Like hot cakes. Like hot balls.
And his name is Lubomir?
Lubomir.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Lubomir and serve him up.
What ideas do you think he passed on before he went with the cooking with bulls? What do you think he went with? You know, like, I thought that was interesting where a guy, you know, has a cookbook out on how to cook with testicles. And you want to say to him, obviously, that wasn't his first idea. What did he pass up on?
Yeah.
And what was number two? What was the book that didn't get written?
Maybe something on a gland.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it doesn't sound like he passes up much, you know. He'll try anything.
Wow. All right. The news. Anything else in the news there, Gina?
That's what's going on.
All right.
On.
Gina, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
Now, say what you will about John Popper, the man can really write a song.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll give you, well, that.
All right, Gino in the news, everybody. Joe McDonald is with us. When it comes to sports, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. Also does politics as well. But since we got a big weekend up coming up with sports, and we have two local teams in the Major League playoffs, I thought we'd do like an hour of sports here. And Joe McDonald's with us. So if you have a question for him, perhaps a comment, maybe you miss him over that KLAC was the last station you were at, right?
Yes, it was, as of about 10 days ago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
And you know what? It's one of those things where, you know, it was just time to go.
Time to move on.
Yeah, it is. And I think I've set a record for radio stations. Except me,
how many
me
stations
and Charlie
you,
Tuna.
How many stations have you worked for in L.A.?
Well, I've worked for a few of them a number of times.
Right.
I would say overall about 15 in 33 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. But the odd thing was my last broadcast, because I got sick the next night, was on September 18th.
Right.
Which was my 33rd anniversary of being in radio.
Jesus,
that was
Christ.
Really.
Did you start out here?
Yeah, I've been here my whole career, and that's why it's. I think it's a good thing that I keep getting employed because I mean I've never had to leave town, and I've always had really good jobs. So right. I guess things, but sometimes things don't work out, and this is one of those things where they wanted to go in a different direction. They wanted to put a syndicated show on at night,
right.
And I frankly don't want to do nights anymore. I'd rather go back to doing afternoon drive if I can, which
right.
is, you know, where I've done most of my career. So it's, you know, I think it was about right. And I mean, not that I would have left, because you know, a job, as you well know, a job is a job, but
yeah.
You know, it was time. And you know, they kind of made the decision. They said you can stay on here and work as long as you want for the same amount of money. And then they had an opportunity to put in a free show, so they said, well, let's take back what we said a little while ago.
Oh, man.
And we wish you the best.
It's fun business, huh?
Yeah, if I do ever have kids, I'm going to tell them, you will be disowned, and you will never, ever do anything. If you go into radio. Television, maybe radio, no.
There was a, this is how sort of unstable the radio business is, but I was outside enjoying the fresh air, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
This is about 2 months ago, and our card keys, the sensor for the card keys to get in here, you know, the security deal, wasn't working outside. And so I'm just sitting there outside enjoying myself, and every single person who came to the building and tried to, you know, swipe the car key to, or card key to get in, every single one, without exception, about five guys, tried to swipe their card. It didn't work. And they're like, oh, I guess this is it, huh? This is the way they tell me.
Oh, wow.
Everybody thought they were fired. But that's how radio is. There's a lot of benefits. Yeah. There's a lot of great things about it. But when it comes to the end, it's, you know, get out.
I have always told these college kids and high school kids who I've spoken to over the years, and I tell them as kind of a joke to loosen them up and everything. I say, if you're not crazy going into radio, you will be coming out of it. But it's the absolute truth. You cannot... Really, if you're going to last in this business, and you know this, you've been around a long time, you cannot be an insecure person, because if you are, you're going to drive yourself literally into the loony bin. And
oh, absolutely.
That's why people say, oh, you've worked for so many stations. And I say, I prefer to look at it as half full. I keep getting hired. That must say something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and my first job was my longest.
Which one
was
that?
I was at KGIL out in the Valley, 1975 to 1982.
Wow.
And then I was at ESPN Radio, where I was also the assistant program director for 5 years. And then I moved on.
Excellent. All right, Joe McDonald's with his sports, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It's not been a good week for Chicago fans. Whether you're a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan, it's been a horrible, horrible week. And didn't the Cubs have the best record in the National League?
Yeah, 97 wins, I believe, and they're playing like they just went to spring training. I mean, four errors in a postseason game last night. I mean, that's just terrible. And the Dodgers... I don't care how well they're playing right now. Overall, they're just not a great baseball team. They just have too many holes in them, and Chicago should be up 2-0, and they're down 2-0 badly.
Right.
Down 2-0. Now, for them to come to Los Angeles and win two games, how do you do that? How do you turn it around so quickly? I don't see it. I can't see it. And the Angels are about to fall into that same situation. They may end up going back to Boston down 2-0.
Yeah, the Angels are down 5-3, I believe, in the seventh or eighth. Let me see.
They're, seventh inning.
Yeah, the seventh inning. And, top of the seventh. And it doesn't look good either, you know, for these guys. But it would be great to see the Angels come back and the Dodgers, you know, and the Angels-Dodgers World Series.
That's actually
what this area needs.
Yeah, did you grow up here?
Yeah, I grew up born and raised in the Valley.
Okay, me too. Yeah. Well, I wasn't born in the Valley, but I was raised there from the time I was 3 years old. I think this would be the culmination of everybody who grew up here as a baseball fan, their dreams.
Oh, yeah.
To see the Dodgers and the Angels get into it. And while everybody has their favorite, I think in this case, either team that wins, it would be such a remarkable accomplishment. It wouldn't be like that Subway Series back in 2000, because that was just too much New York. And,
right.
You know, nobody cared here.
Right.
But Dodgers and Angels would be ridiculous. I think you would have people trying to pay $4,000 or $5,000 for tickets.
Oh,
just like Laker games.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I remember those, you know, those Laker finals tickets were going for $10,000, $15,000 a seat.
Yep. I was offered... My seats aren't that good. They're in the bottom level, but they're way up top in the second part of the bowl.
Right.
And I was offered like $1,000 a seat.
Is that right?
Yeah, for doing it. I had already promised them to a friend of mine.
What's the face value on that for the finals?
For the playoffs, they were probably around, I think it was 190 or 210. So it was, five times the price or
Jesus
whatever it was.
Christ.
And I didn't take it because I already promised them to a friend of mine. I wasn't going to do that too, but I managed to wangle a couple of bucks out of him, making him feel guilty.
Yeah.
So, you know, dude, I could have sold these for $1,000 a piece. Well, I'll give you 100 a piece.
Yeah,
all right, I'll take it.
All right, Joe McDonald is with us. You probably get recognized at all these games, though. I mean, people constantly come up to you. You've been on the air for 33 years. Did you ever write for the LA Times? Or?
I've done, various little pieces. I've done a lot of writing for different magazines and websites, and I've got my own website as well, BigJoeOnline.com, plug.
Yeah.
And
BigJoeOnline.com.
BigJoeOnline.com. Yeah, no, I enjoy it. I like the writing aspect of it. I originally wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be the sports editor of the LA Times. But things just, you know, broadcasting. Like I said, the day I started, September 18th, 1975, was the day Patty Hearst got arrested.
Wow, is that right?
And it was, I fell in love that day because everything that was going on in this little tiny newsroom at KGIL. And my first shift, I was an intern, started at 5 a.m. I didn't go home till 11 o'clock that night. And I went to my mom and dad. I said, I was just starting my sophomore year in college. I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Joe McDonald is with us. And I remember that Patty Hearst thing. It was 1975.
Right, when she got caught.
Yeah, I was 12 years old at the time. And I remember being very proud of LAPD, that, you know, that they're constantly looking for all up and down, you know, Southern California, Northern California. And they finally, she steps foot in Southern California, and literally hours after she gets here, her house is on fire and the cops are shooting into it.
Oh, was that a day?
Yeah.
Man, that part of it was in May, I think of May of 75. And they, you know, everything was blown. Remember Christine Lund walking up to the door? This lunatic in Compton walking up to a door that's a house is on fire. Bullets are being fired up there. And how they, she got away from that. You know, everybody else died in that fire. And she's gone with her two other buddies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then all of a sudden she gets caught. And that was probably, if anybody could have broken into a radio on a better day, it would have had to be the Kennedy assassination or Pearl Harbor. Right. I can't imagine any other day because that was such a huge story for a year and a half.
Yeah, huge story. All right, now you and I grew up in, or basically born and raised here in Southern California. And did you grow up as a Rams fan?
Oh, God, yeah,
I was
please.
The biggest Rams fan ever. I mean, I go back, you know, they were blue and white when you and I first started going.
Yep.
How old are you?
I am 52, just turned 52 at the end of last month.
But you remember, and you go back to Roman Gabriel and I mean, Olson and
Merlin Olson, Deacon Jones. Yeah. I am the last voice of the Los Angeles Rams.
Is that right?
I signed off their last broadcast, their final season in 94. I was the pregame, postgame, and halftime host.
Wow.
And I was the one on Christmas Eve of 94 saying, I don't know if we're going to be back next year. I sure hope so. But if not, this has been the final broadcast of the Los Angeles Rams. And so far it has been.
What a great trivia question.
Broke my heart. I mean, still to this day. I mean,
it broke my heart when they moved to Anaheim. I mean, you know, from L.A., that killed me.
Yeah, that, you know, but I could, they were still here. You know, it was just a little bit longer of a drive. But when Georgia Frontieri passed away earlier this year, I was on the air that night, just a little while after the story broke. And I had to say, I went on the air and I said, you know, I don't wish anybody to die, and I truly don't. But since she did, let me just tell you what kind of woman she was. She cost so many people so much money and just ruined the lives of millions of Rams fans by taking that team away when all she had to do was sell it.
Right.
That's all she had to do. There were people ready to buy it, and she wouldn't do it. Yeah, I love the Rams.
When I heard that she died, I was up in Oregon when that happened, and I heard that, hey, Georgia Frontieri died. I was driving on Highway 30, honking the horn, going, yay!
Oh, see, you and I are cut from the same cloth.
So long, baby.
Yeah,
I couldn't stand that woman.
No, she was, first of all, she just never cared about the Los Angeles fans.
Right.
Second of all, again, she could have made $250 million by selling the team, and wouldn't do it. And she just did it in spite and not to do it. And they strung along Orange County. I don't know if you remember Lee Steinberg, the agent, was trying to put together a group to buy him, and other people were trying to buy him. And she was telling them, well, I think we might sell him. We don't really want to take the... John Shaw had already been... He already negotiated the deal.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible, horrible, horrible. The only thing I could think of that would be worse is if the Lakers left town.
Yeah. Well, if I mean, going back to the Rams, I mean, I can remember, you know, going to almost every home game, either with my dad or one of his friends or my uncle. I mean, almost every game. And we didn't have great seats. We were sitting, you know, way up in that Coliseum. But to see, you know, to go through the Jack Youngblood, and then later on the Eric Dickersons. But, you know, the Mud Bowl with the Vikings.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, it was just
14-7.
Yeah. It was just such a great time in Los Angeles to have an NFL team here.
And, you know, the thing for me, Tim, and being in this part of the business, you talked about earlier about my passion for sports, and I really liked it. When I was growing up, I had five heroes. You know, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Don Drysdale, and Roman Gabriel. Those were my five guys. I mean, that was it. And as my career went on, I got not only got to meet all of them, but become friends with all of them.
Man.
And, you know, you'd tell me when I was 18 years old, hey, you're going to end up being friends. You can pick up the phone and call these guys. You can do this. You're crazy. You know, and here's a kid from the Valley who did all this. And I still, you know, Don Drysdale obviously has passed away, as has Wilt. But, you know, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Roman Gabriel, I still... You know, talk to them, and if they run into somebody I know, they say, hey, tell Joe I said hi. And, you know, my career's just been a thrill. It really has, the whole way.
It's the greatest job ever because you get to go to these events and meet these guys who you grow up idolizing. I remember when I was a kid, my dad took me to the Fabulous Forum. It was called the Fabulous Forum back then.
Yeah.
And my first hockey game, and I think it was like 1969. I was only about 6 years old. But I remember walking around the that level there, like the promenade level,
right.
You know, the big circle, and looking up and saying, "Wow, that's the greatest sportscaster ever in Bob Miller." You know, and just I couldn't believe. I used to sit back like near the wall, and you could hear him talk, above me. And I was like, "Man, I'd love to meet that guy one time." And then 20, 30 years later, he comes in, he's a guest on the show. I mean, I literally had goosebumps.
Yeah,
because of how much I thought of this guy. And this is also an interesting story. Then we'll take some calls. But I was a major, major fan of the Kings, and still am. And I loved the Triple Crown line. You know, those years of the Triple Crown line with, Simmer and
Taylor
and Dion.
Yep.
And Dave Taylor, I actually had a Dave Taylor jersey. He was my favorite King and just a great guy. And when the Staples Center opened, we were going to do a live broadcast for KLSX from the Staples Center on the day it opened, mm-hmm. Or on the first King game. And I got there. The game was at 7 o'clock, and I got to the Staples Center at 3:30. Just to
walk
around and all this stuff. And I walk in, and there's a guy standing right down near the ice, and I turn around and I walk down, and we're sort of back to back, and I turn around, and it's Dave Taylor, and he's just going over the ice, and I introduce myself. I go, "Hey, Dave Taylor, I'm a major fan of yours, a huge fan," and he says to me, "Hey, you want to talk about hockey?" And I'm sitting there on the ice in the first row, the two of us sitting on the glass for literally an hour just talking about
the
Kings.
Isn't that great?
I mean, I couldn't believe that. That's one of the benefits, from doing radio.
Yeah, it sure is. I had a situation with that. James Harris, the old Rams quarterback. One day I see him up in the Coliseum press box. He was working for the Jets at the time as an assistant GM. And he comes, "You're Joe McDonald, aren't you?" And I go, "Yeah, you're James Harris. You listen to your show every afternoon. You and Doug are the greatest." And I'm just like, wow. Seriously, and if that happened to me today, if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, somebody I admired or watched growing up and said, hey, I listened to your show," and it's just like, wow. That part of the business, you never get jaded on. You really don't.
Yeah,
I think that's a big, big factor in why I love it so much.
All right, if you have a question for Joe McDonald, we're going to talk about sports here, local sports, in the next half hour. Quick update for you here. The Los Angeles Dodgers obviously are up 2-0 against the Chicago Cubs. And the Angels in the eighth inning are down 5-3. If they lose this game, they're going to go down 2-0 and back to Boston. That doesn't look good. Joe McDonald joins us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And Joe McDonald is with us. Always nice to see you, my brother.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah,
like I said, this is an absolute thrill to be in here.
Let's talk to Richard here, Marina Del Rey. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, Timmy and Joe.
Hey.
Pleasure. Joe, I'm about your same age. I've listened to you for 25 years.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Tim, had you ever thought of going into sports announcing?
No, I don't know that much about it.
Yeah, right.
The passion really
you share. Oh, you sound like you do.
And he wants more of a stable career than I've had, that's for sure.
No, you know what? And actually, I'm too lazy to go into that. These guys who Vin Scully and Bob Miller and all these announcers, they got a lot of effing work to do, and they got to constantly keep up on these names, especially Bob Miller. He has to pronounce names from around the world that have 14 consonants in it and no vowels.
Right.
I've always said this is like being in school as an adult, because you have to follow what's going on. You have to know, what's going on with everybody, because you never know what somebody's going to ask you.
I know.
Absolutely. Real quickly, and I just got a new Minolta camera in 1971 or so. My dad was the head of entertainment at Caesar's Palace. He got me close to Joe Louis, and I said, "Hey, Joe," and I snapped a picture of him. He summarily came over to me and took his fist and smashed my camera that was attached to my neck.
Jesus
and Angelo
Christ.
Dundee came running over, just didn't know what to say, apologized. He was so punchy. Did you have any contact with him at the end of his career, his life, Joe?
No, I never did. I know he had a stroke and, you know, lived a few years after that, but he's probably punchy from all the money that the IRS took from. You know, that was a terrible situation. Here was a guy who went over, entertained the troops, paid for a lot of stuff for other people, and they wouldn't forgive his debt till, you know, it was way too late.
Wow.
And
yeah,
he his golfing buddies, too, took him, I think, on the golf course as well.
Well, yeah, you know, he was actually the first black to play in a PGA Tour event down
in
San Diego. Yeah, and he tried to get on the tour, and there were all sorts of problems, and he gave it up.
Wasn't he at Caesar's Palace, wasn't he a greeter for a while?
Yes, he went. That was what he was doing toward the end of his life. And even when he was had the stroke, they would wheel him in and bring him to all the big fights and everything else. And then he had a heart attack and he died.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's when greeters were greeters. Now it's, you know, a guy with, you know, one eye and, you know, and an IQ of 7 at Walmart.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, we love you. Thank you for coming. No, Willie Mays was a greeter. Mickey Mantle was a greeter.
Yeah, that's
you know, Joe Louis.
But that would draw people into Caesar's Palace. Hey, look, it's the champ.
That's
hey,
right.
Champ, how are you?
That's right. If you were paying a guy back then $100,000, which was the going rate to be a greeter, first of all, that was a hell of a lot of money for them.
Oh, yeah.
And second of all, guy walk up and get an autograph from Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle
Jesus.
Or whatever, you know, that's worth the money you're paying because they're going to come back, too.
Right. And now these athletes get too much money where they don't have to do that at the end of their career.
No, if they're smart, they don't.
Right.
That's the other tragedy that, you know, they should enroll all of these kids that go into, instead of these three-day programs that they have, the first year they're professional athletes, they ought to make them go through some kind of training to keep their money because most of them early on don't know what they're doing.
Let's talk to us, Steve, in Redondo Beach on 97.1 FM Talk. Joe McDonald's with us. How you doing?
Tim, love your program, Joe.
Thank you, sir. I hope that wasn't a car accident.
Me either. I don't know. It was some kind of accident.
Either that guy was really happy or he just died.
Or somebody fell into his crotch and hurt him badly. Other than that.
All right, what do you think the Dodgers are going to do? The question he had was Dodger trades. Dodgers looking at any trades during the offseason, you think?
Well, I think they...
Will they keep Ramirez?
That's the whole thing. They don't need to trade anybody. I mean, it'd be nice if they went after CC Sabathia because they could use a true number one starter who's a horse that can carry him. But if you're going to throw $18.5 million a year down the drain for the worthless Andrew Jones, how can you not give Manny Ramirez $20 to $25 million for 4 years?
Right.
I mean, look, forget what he does on the field. We all know what he's going to do on the field. Look what he's done to re-energize Dodger baseball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's worth the money itself.
Now, will Jones be back?
Yeah, they have another year.
They do.
Another year, and I don't know where they're going to play him.
And
Andre Ethier has been great. Yeah, got a two-year deal for about $37 million.
Whoever made that deal should be fired.
Ned Coletti.
Oh, he
may get fired because of it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's thrown away 18.6 a year, so 37 on him. Jason Schmidt got a contract for about $45 million over 3 years, and Juan Pierre got like a $50 million contract over 5 years. So he's put out about $100 million for players who have contributed very little to the
wow.
Dodgers.
Now, what's happening with the Lakers this year? Any different, new players?
Actually, nobody is going to make an impression. You know, Pau Gasol will be here for a full season. But what Phil Jackson's toying with now, Tim, is putting Lamar Odom in the backcourt and making him the point guard at 6'10". With a wingspan of a guy about 7'3", and having him bring the ball up the court on offense, so this way they can play Trevor Ariza at the small forward and not have 3 7-footers on the front line with Bynum back healthy. Whether that's going to pan out, I don't know, because Odom he's more up and down than an elevator.
Well, they've got to be the favorite to win it all, then.
I think they are in certain places, but you know the Celtics. As much as I hate them. You got to give them credit. They got great players, and they dominated the Lakers last year in the finals. It wasn't really.
Oh, yeah.
You can look at it 4-2. It could have easily been 4-0.
Right, and four really lopsided games too.
Well, yeah, when the Lakers blew a 24-point lead in that one game, that
Jesus
was
Christ.
Psychologically, man, you don't come back from things like that. Yeah.
Now, Kwame Brown, who I've always hated as a Laker, and I always thought was a terrible basketball player, and not really a cool dude personally.
You're right.
But I knew that he wasn't a good player, And people who are casual Laker fans knew that he wasn't good. He went down to Memphis, and the coach down there said, this guy is barely like a practice player for us. And then he goes to Detroit, and he's going to be their starting center?
Here's why. Defensively, if he concentrates on being a defensive player, first of all, he's thought by many to be the strongest player in NBA basketball, the literally physically strongest player. He can block shots. He can grab rebounds. He gets in trouble when he has to catch the ball and try to shoot or do anything with it.
Right. So if which he goes you have there, to do in this league.
Yeah, at least once in a while, right. Absolutely. So if you can say to him, Kwame, we need 2 points a game from you, but we need 14 rebounds and 3 block shots, he may be able to pull it off. One of the biggest problems with Kwame is he's stupid. That's as nice as I can put it. It's basketball-wise. I don't know how he is in the books, but basketball-wise, his basketball IQ just isn't that high. And he's the guy that tantalizes you. He'll have a 30-point, 14-rebound, 5-block game. You go, here's the Kwame Brown we know. Next game, 4 points, 2 rebounds, and they yank him because he has 5 fouls. That's exactly what he was.
Yeah, he's not very bright. And I heard a story about him, and this is actually confirmed by another guy, that he would make a great play on the Lakers, and then Kobe Bryant would say, hey, that's a really good play. You know, there was really good movement. And Kwame Brown would have no idea what he was talking about because he would forget what he had just done. He couldn't remember, what the play was or what the move was.
It wouldn't surprise me. And Michael Jordan made a huge mistake making him the number one pick that year. But here's the great thing. When he came to the Lakers in that deal, they asked him about different things and what his foods were like, and he was talking about going on the road and traveling and not being able to get what he likes to eat. So he decided that whenever he goes into a restaurant now, whether it be in Paris, France, Russia, Los Angeles, he was going to bring a bottle of French dressing with him. And everywhere he goes, he brings a bottle of French dressing with him. Now, I don't know what that tells you, but it sounds to me the dude's loony. And I don't mean Tom loony either.
This is going to be so weird, and you're going to think I'm lying, but it's what a radical coincidence this is. And I can't get down on Kwame for bringing the French dressing to a restaurant. You know why?
Why?
My wife does the same thing.
Does she? A bottle?
She brings it like little packets of French dressing.
Oh, okay. That's a little packet.
Yeah, or
all right, I understand that. My wife carries Splenda everywhere she goes. But to bring in a bottle of French dressing.
Is odd.
You're
that
7
is odd.
Feet tall, 275 pounds, and you're bringing in a bottle of French dressing. God almighty.
Hey, now what's going on? Again, Joe McDonald is with us. What's going on with the Raiders? And how come Al Davis was so pissed this time? He usually lets these guys go and, lets somebody else do the talking. But he wanted to get out there in front and tell everybody what an a-hole he thought the coach was.
Well, because I think he thought he was, but he's also upset because this is the 5th coach in a row that he's picked that was no good and that didn't fit in. And he knows he's going to have to pay him no matter what grandstanding he did the other night. Unless this guy was, literally sending plays from the Raider playbook to the other team, they can't get away from paying him because he talked to reporters.
Him,
He was making around $2 million a year, I think.
For what, 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years. For a guy who came out of college with no head coaching experience ever.
Christ.
And now there's rumor he's going to Syracuse to take over that job.
Is that
job.
Right?
Yeah. But Davis, did you ever watch Tales from the Crypt?
Yes.
He's the crypt keeper. That he is. He's the crypt keeper now. And I think one of the other things, too, Tim, he wanted to show people he's not senile because everybody thinks he's completely lost it. And, it's just they're never going to win again till he's out of there. It's not going to happen.
Now, when the NFL talks about bringing a team to Los Angeles, and it seems to come up every year or so, and then it never happens, is this ever going to happen?
Well, I think we got our best chance right now, and we, speaking as a resident of the city, Ed Roskey wants to build a stadium. Can do it. Already has the environmental impact reports because he owns the land out in the Irwindale area, city of industry. And they can do it for $800 million rather than $1.2 billion like the Cowboys are doing it.
Right.
And the NFL has told them, if you build it, we're going to have a team for you in 2009.
Who do you
You'll have to play
be?
In the Rose Bowl for 2 years and then move in 2011.
Who do you think it'll be?
There's two teams, I think.
Even Minnesota?
No. I think it'll either be the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Because Ralph Wilson has Southern California connections. But that may not happen until he dies because it's been put in his will. His children have to sell the team. The other one, hold on to your table.
Wait, maybe it was put in the will that he has to sell the team?
Yes, the children, the people who are going to inherit the team have to sell it in a certain amount of time.
Why is that?
Because he doesn't want his kids ruining the football team,
Jesus
I guess.
Christ.
Actually, I don't think he has any sons. I think it's a daughter.
Yeah,
I'm not 100%
that is
sure.
That will be the death blow to Buffalo.
Yeah.
To lose that team?
Yeah, that'll be it for them. But the Rams may end up being the other team that comes back.
Is that right?
Here's the scenario. Wayne Weaver wants to sell Jacksonville. He wants out. Jacksonville goes to St. Louis in exchange for the Rams. He sells the Rams to Ed Roski.
Jesus, wouldn't that be great?
That is something that's been talked about.
I would move to Irwindale.
City of Industry. It's only about 45 miles from the valley. It's actually, and it's not completely out of the question. It is a long shot, and the other team's the Chargers. Their deal, they can get out of it for a relatively inexpensive amount of money,
right,
and they could move up here because their stadium deal in San Diego is probably never going to happen.
Well, if it was the San Diego Chargers, then you would have a tremendous fan base. You'd have all the LA fans, or all the LA fans of the NFL, and then these people in San Diego would just get on a, you know, on a train or a drive up and go to every game.
Yeah, I mean, I would take, if it was the Chargers or the Rams, I would love it. I would take Jacksonville, I'd take Minnesota, I'd take Buffalo. The one team I don't want to see the Raiders come back here. I just don't want to. They're not, I don't care how many years they spent in L.A., Tim, they were never an L.A. team to me.
Well, let's take some calls here. Okay. Let's talk to, how about Kevin in Venice? You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to call and give major props to Joe, man. Joe, I miss your show so much. I was flipping around the dial. I turned on 570 tonight on the way home from the gym and on the way to the gym and on the way home again, and you weren't there, and I flipped the dial, and I found you. And I just want to say, you know, I've listened to you for, like, the past 15 years, ever since I moved to L.A., and I can't believe your show is gone. You're like the best, man.
Well,
you're
he's still wait, hold on one sec, Kevin. He's still doing the show, but he's doing it at home every night.
That's right. I'm doing it to my wife, who manages to fall asleep in the middle of it every night. I don't and in my show too.
If you want to slide out there, you can actually see him do it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Kevin. And again, it was a surprise to me because I had been told that, you know, my option was being picked up, and you know, then 6 days later, it's like, no, we got a better deal. So see you later. And you know, again, it's the vagaries of the business, but I'm hoping to be back soon. And
if the station was smart in LA, they'd hire you tomorrow. You know, for somebody who has the knowledge you have of sports and politics and was born and raised here and has, you know, 33 years of experience on the air, there may be two or three people in Los Angeles that have all of those things.
Well, thank you. And you know, my dream job, honestly, would be to do 2 hours of regular talk, in entertainment, politics, and all that stuff, and 2 hours of sports talk. I would love to be able to hybrid that kind of show together. It's been done one other time. They didn't really give it much of a chance to work, and I would love to be able to do that on some station. And you know, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of things. I've been in management. I've done programming. So there's a lot of things I can offer. And I'm not you know, politicking for a job here. It's just I love what I do, and I really, it's a passion for me. It's a 24/7 thing for me, and I just, you know, I was telling you off the air, I don't want to move. I love LA. It's where I'm known, it's where I know, and I don't want to have to go to another city and start over after 33 years. So
yeah.
I hope something can work out here somewhere.
I bet it does. Let's talk to Scagnetti, I believe is how you pronounce that name. You're on 97.1. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Well, Al Davis is the Mr. Burns of football, though.
That's pretty good. I like that.
But my question is, do you think the Dodgers could pull it out Saturday against Harden? Because he's one of the best pitchers out there, especially coming from the A's, though, too.
Yeah, he's pitched really well for them, and he's managed to stay relatively healthy, which has been the biggest knock on Rich Harden his whole career. He just can't stay healthy, you know. And he was coming up, when he first came up, he was throwing 97 miles an hour,
yeah.
And, you know, he's had all the injuries. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game. I guess Kuroda is going to start for the Dodgers.
Correct.
You don't know. He's been real well at home, but you never know the pressures of the playoffs and everything else. I would say if the Dodgers are going to lose a game, it's probably going to be Saturday, tomorrow.
And then, oh, man, I'm going to be there. I don't want to hear that.
Well, hopefully you'll get rained out.
Well, that's another possibility. And then I think they're going to win it Sunday. I don't think it's going back to Chicago.
All right.
Thanks, Scagnetti. Thanks for calling.
That's a good name.
I love that. We were going to name my daughter Scagnetti.
Yo, Scagnetti, what up?
With Sophia. All right, so, Joe, you're a big fan of the NFL?
Yeah, it's probably third on my list, basketball, baseball, and football.
All right, now
WWE wrestling, of course.
Okay. Any tip? Like, what's your? I'm going to give you the games for this weekend.
Okay.
And you tell me if you think any of these teams are a lock. Kansas City, Carolina.
Where is it at?
It's at Carolina. Too close?
What's the spread?
I don't know the spread.
If it's not more than 7, I would take Kansas City. Carolina should kill them.
How about Chicago or Detroit? These are the national games. These are going to be on TV.
Oh, God. Chicago should destroy them.
Chicago should just destroy
them? I think so. Detroit? I think Detroit's horrible. I mean, really horrible. And getting rid of Matt Millen's not going to change a whole lot on the field right now.
I'm going to write these down. Make a little money this weekend.
Oh, God. Well, I guess I'll never be back. Nice talking to you, folks.
What about Atlanta at Green Bay?
That's tough. Aaron Rodgers has a shoulder problem. I would lay way off that game.
All right, lay off that game. How about San Diego, Miami, at Miami?
Just for a win, I have to go with San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah.
All right.
They're getting some of their players back, too, so I think they're going to be a little bit better.
All right, and the big national game that is going to be on, I believe, or Sunday night, is Pittsburgh at Jacksonville.
I would go with Jacksonville. Roethlisberger's got some shoulder problems, and you know he's another one. And he threw today, and he was supposed to. You know, he's definitely going to start on Sunday. But when you talk about a quarterback having shoulder problems, it just takes one hit, and then they got to go to their backup. And they're not a team that scores a ton of points anyway. So I would go with Jacksonville. I think, especially at home.
All right, and then the game that people are probably talking about, and the big rival, the East Coast rival, is Washington at Philadelphia.
Ooh, that's going to be a good game.
Yeah, that's going
to
be.
Westbrook is supposed to play. Now that, you know, don't know if he is or not. If he plays, I would go with Philadelphia. If he doesn't play, I would probably go with Washington. I mean, to do it as simply as you can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a morning game. I think that's a 10 a.m. game here in Los Angeles. But that should be a nationally televised game. Yeah.
Do you have the NFL package?
You know, I don't because I'm a moron. I got Dish Network, and I just assumed it came with the possibility of the NFL package, and it doesn't.
No.
So I'm in a 2-year deal, and then I got to somehow get out of that. But I'm also married with a kid, so that means I don't have the NFL package. Real quickly, we only got about a minute here. What happened to USC? How is it possible that they lost up in Oregon?
I think they were out-coached. I think they were out-prepared, and they always lose a game every year they should never lose.
What is the spread? What was the spread in that game?
Oh, God, they were favored by, I think it was double digits, 17 maybe, something like that.
Right?
I'm not 100% sure,
Jesus Christ.
They were, they should never, and they do it every year. That's the one thing. There's one game where they should never lose, and it's that. And this year it was Oregon State.
Yeah,
and it
usually is Oregon or Stanford or, you know.
Last year was Stanford, and they lost 24-23, and that ruined them.
Yeah. All right, a quick update for the Angels. The Angels are down by one run in the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth inning. And it looks like somebody's got a triple here.
Yep, Sean Figgins, I believe.
Yeah, look at that. So they got a man on third here, and it should be interesting. So we'll come back and do open phones and try to give you a final on the Angel game in the next hour or so. Joe, I can't tell you, I can't thank you enough for coming by.
Tim, this is a thrill. Thank you so much for having
me.
I
appreciate
it. Absolutely.
We'll keep everybody updated what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. And the website again?
BigJoeOnline.com. Very easy to remember.
BigJoeOnline.com.
That's it.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Thanks, Tim. You too.
All right. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. When we come back, open phones live right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Sure to be changing your ways. I met a cheerleader, was a real young beat. All the times I can reminisce. All the best things of loving with a sister and a cousin. Only started with a little kiss like this. 97.1 FM Talk.